This is TWiT.
One thing that's in the news this week has to do with a site called Photopedia. Not something I've used before, but it sounds like, you know, a photo sharing site that unfortunately went under. But there's a lot of Creative Commons material that was formerly, while this site was operating, accessible by Photopedia. What's going to happen now that it's becoming defunct?
So when we heard that the site was closing, someone from CC contacted Photopedia to ask what was going to happen to all the CC licensed images. And we were able to get an archive of, I think it's 280 gigabytes worth of images that are going to be going up on Internet Archive, I think relatively soon. I don't know the exact timeline on it, but we were happy that we're able to preserve access to those.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Has this kind of thing happened before? Obviously, Flickr is still hanging in there, going strong, presumably going to get better. I believe I read something about by Thomas Hawk on that recently, so that's all good.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm sure that it has, undoubtedly. Sites die and links break, and it's hard to find content, but I can't think of any other high-profile examples off the top of my head, but...
Let's get some stats from you on Creative Commons. Do you have any good feel for which is the most common license that people apply, and also for whether the public domain license is getting much use?
That's a really good question. So we don't keep stats. We don't keep a record on who uses what license. So anything that we try to find is through, you know, pretty discrete anecdotal or surveys or that sort of thing. So I haven't seen any statistics recently, but I remember in the last couple of years that there is a marked move toward the less restrictive licenses. So the attribution only license and then our share alike license, which is basically a copyleft license, as opposed to the non-commercial license was incredibly popular in the beginning of CC, and it still is, but I think people are starting to move a little bit away from that and more toward the what we call the open licenses in the suite. The public domain tools are, I think, they're some of my favorite to talk about. The public domain dedication, I think, is getting a lot of uptake. I'm trying to remember what year it came out. I want to say 2009. It was before my time. But
after the original Creative Commons licenses.
Yes. The original licenses were 2002, so it was several years later. And the idea is to put your content as close as possible into the public domain. So in certain jurisdictions, that is incredibly difficult to do, it turns out. So the way that it's called CC0, the tool, the way it works is, you know, the first layer is a dedication to the public domain. The second is, if that doesn't work, then it's a license basically to do anything you want for any purpose under no conditions. So, and then if that doesn't work for some reason in somewhere in the world, then there's a kind of a promise not to ever assert your copyright against people who are relying on the tool.
And
so
it's
kind
of
a three-tiered.
It's at that point you have a Comcast sales rep call you up and say, are you sure that you really want to donate this to the public? I'm joking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. So one of the public domain license users is the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. What have they been discovering about putting things in the public domain?
So it's an art and history museum in Amsterdam, and they, in the past several years, have made, I think it's 150,000 high-resolution images of public domain artwork available on their website. And the resolution is high enough, apparently, that you could print out a poster for your wall. I mean, these are really good photos. And now they're actually all available for free. So recently, someone did a case study about this, kind of chronicling what was the process that... Because as with, I think with most people, they'd be, you know, pretty reluctant to do that initially. And so it was kind of I think over several years that they worked toward, they started out by just making the low quality images available for free online. And then after time just decided that they were going to make the high resolution images available as well. And it's really been successful for them. They've gotten a lot of publicity for one thing for this, but they've also just gotten a lot of people into the museum who see these, you know, high quality images and want to go see the work in person. So it's a really nice success story to highlight. Because I mean, the background here is that in this sector, we call it GLAM. I think it stands for galleries, libraries, archives, and museums. They're, you know, very often working with public domain work. And there's this interesting legal question about what constitutes a new, is it possible to, you know, get copyright on a public domain work when you reproduce it, photograph it, digitize it, whatever it is. In the U.S., it's pretty well settled from the Bridgman case that at least identical reproductions do not warrant a new copyright. But I think in other parts of the world, it's not quite so clear. But there's also this fairly well accepted principle that once something's in the public domain, it should be free for everyone to use. And no one should be able to restrict it just by the fact that they were the one to digitize it. But the problem is digitization is expensive and it takes resources. And a lot of these cultural heritage institutions are facing, you know, budget cuts, and this is a revenue model for them. So all of that is to say that this particular museum success story is kind of a nice, hopefully, inspiration and a model for other museums that are trying to figure out how to take advantage of what the internet can do for them without maybe, you know, without the concerns of sacrificing possible revenue models. So,
right. I mean, I think some museums might look at what the Rijksmuseum is doing and saying, well, hey, you know, we're not going to digitize this stuff because we have this very lucrative museum store where we put prints of paintings on scarves and sell the posters ourselves and really monetize the works in our collection. Although anyone else should be able to monetize them because they're public domain, as a practical matter, they can't because they haven't been digitized. I think the argument would probably be that you're not, the people who are using the Rijksmuseum works aren't people who would stumble into the store and buy the scarf. You know, I mean, Amsterdam is just one place in the world and their collection has a global appeal. So they're probably not hurting themselves on sales by making these things available, because they're not taking away from the things that they would ordinarily sell. And as you point out, as the study pointed out, they're gaining a lot of exposure for the works that they do have in their collection. Do you think that's right?
I think that's right. It would be interesting to see statistics about their museum store and if they've seen any deterioration of sales based on this. I don't think that the case study really talked about the physical museum store. I think it did make it clear, though, that they were actually having a lot of success when they did the two-tiered. So when they had the medium, I guess it was medium quality images were free, and then they still charged for the high resolution. It looked like they did see a big bump in revenue from that model. And they ultimately were still willing to abandon that, which is kind of interesting. But they, I guess, decided that they would rather seek big grants to digitize a large amount of the collection all at once rather than doing it piecemeal, because that was just very resource intensive for them, you know, waiting for particular individuals or, you know, an order of three or four and trying to digitize it was just not very efficient compared to being able to do it all at once. So... but it might be that all that's to say that I don't know that this model would necessarily, putting the high resolution images online would work for every museum, especially if they're really dependent on the revenue from selling high resolution images. I don't know. I imagine that there can be a significant amount of revenue from that, but